we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud.
Yeah.
This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots.
Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm here with Jim Worthington, owner of the Newtown Athletic Club in Newtown and Horsham Athletic Club in Horsham. Thanks for joining me today, Jim.
My pleasure.
So I obviously want to talk a lot about a post that you made. It was actually, I think, a Facebook Live on the Newtown Athletic Club page, May 27th of 2020. Okay, this is... we're mired in red phase, trying to reopen. You decided, you know what? All right, I'm going to become a leader here, lead everyone through, and put out some plans for how we can get through this. And we'll talk all about that. It was somewhat of an ultimatum, an interesting decision, business decision. But what I actually want to lead with is I'm kind of curious to get the story out because I feel like not very many people know this. Prior to that, really early on in the pandemic, you had made the NAC available as like overflow, right? Like a facility for, they thought there was going to be some massive surge of COVID patients. So you said, hey, you could use this for bed space. Is that right?
Yeah, I reached out to the county commissioner, Diane Marseglia, and said, you know, we would be interested in doing whatever we could to help the cause in Bucks County in terms of any health care or whatever. And she said, would you be amenable to doing a COVID hospital? And I said, sure. I mean, we've got the building there. So the next thing we knew, the health officials came out, Dr. Damsker and some other people, and checked it out. And it's a field house that we own. It's not part of the NAC, but it's next door to the NAC, a different business. It's called the Newtown Sports Training and Event Center. And they came out and vetted it and looked at it, and they said it would be a perfect location for a COVID hospital. So they brought in like 80, 90 beds, set it up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was ready to go. Thank God it never got used because there was never overflow at the local hospitals. But in the event there was, it was set up for that, and it was available for a couple months. So it was a good thing. I mean, it's part of what you do to give back to the community. Of course, you know, as in any case, no good deed shall go unpunished. I was later, people said, well, you know, he got paid by the community, the county, or it was a tax write-off. All those things are crazy. I mean, we didn't get paid by anybody, and there's no such thing as a tax write-off for donating your facilities. We did it because it was the right thing to do.
Right.
And, yeah, but later then, as you stated later, when we reopened up a month earlier, then there was blowback. And you're right, people did forget about the fact that we were the first ones on board to help out. So,
yeah, so to paint that picture come May and June timeframe, when you decide, all right, I'm going to be a leader, help a bunch of people reopen. We had been, first of all, we didn't get those color codes until I want to say it was like early May, the red, yellow, green thing from Governor Wolf. And nobody really knew. You actually referenced this in the video you made. Nobody really knew, okay, what am I looking at? Is this going to be 6 months? Is this going to be another week? Like, how long do I have to stay shut down? And so you make your video, and it sounds like a lot went into the decision to say, okay, it's May 27th right now. At the time, we were still in red phase. So nobody knew, when are we going to go yellow? When are we going to go green? When can people open up? And you had said, all right, we'll hold out until July 1st. And July 1st is the date that I'm going to go ahead and open my doors, and I encourage everyone else to do the same. What was the decision that went into like that date specifically?
Well, I guess a couple things. One is we were just at that point, I had to draw a line in the sand and say, look, we can go so far, but you know, at some point we've just got to reopen, and mainly because, not for business wise, is that I realized from day one, and certainly the statistics have proven me right and our industry right, is, you know, the exercise and keeping healthy was one of the main components of not getting COVID, or getting, when you got it, you wouldn't be as sick or right. Be hospitalized. So, you know, people don't realize this as well, as when the shutdown began in the beginning, for my domestic fitness industry, the entire domestic fitness industry, my team worked with the CDC to develop the guidelines for safe operations of health clubs. We were the ones that put that together for 40,000 health clubs in America. And so we were pretty much the forerunners, the experts on that. And we knew that we could operate safely. We gave them all the guidelines and, you know, the separations and the and how you would, like, shut down certain equipment and move them 6 feet apart and all that, and hand sanitize, all that stuff. So we developed that with the CDC. of course, then we were still shut down. We realized that we could open safely. I mean, if you look at my club, it's bigger than a Walmart. And I just thought it was ridiculous. So the combination of we were good for people, we were going to keep people well, which has always been the case. I mean, 80% of chronic disease can be prevented by exercise. Mm-hmm. In COVID, 80% of the people that either were hospitalized or died from COVID were overweight. Not obese. They were obese, but overweight. You could be 10 pounds overweight, and it you were have more of an impact on you. That's the significance of just keeping healthy and exercising and good nutrition. So I just said enough's enough. July 1st, long enough. It would have been 4 months. And the second part of it was that I had been contacted by a number of businesses saying, look, you know, you guys are one of the bigger, higher profile businesses in the county. We're getting devastated. If we don't get open sooner than later, we're going to go out of business. How do you feel about, you know, stepping up and maybe, you know, being an advocate for all of us? So I agreed to that. And so, so I did that. You know, surprisingly, that when we opened up, many of the people that said they were going to did not. The majority did not. Yeah, and it was a little bit of a. I looked around, and everybody was next to me. And then, 10 minutes later, I turned around, and a lot of them were gone. But type of thing. But you know what? At the end of the day, I guess that's maybe one of the legacies we live, or one of the things I like to think that I, you know, I stand up for what's right, regardless of what the circumstances is. And, you know, and these, there's just another one of those times. I mean, like the saying, everybody wants to be a patriot until there's patriot things to do, really does hold water. But we did the right thing. And frankly, a lot of the people that did, all the people that opened up in conjunction with me were very appreciative, and some of the ones that, many of the ones that didn't did reach out to me, and they just didn't have the courage to do it. But and I get it, it's maybe it's not easy for everybody, but for me it was simple.
A lot to unpack there. You had a line going to your whole point about exercise being important. You had a line that you'd said in the video, which I still remember today. I don't know if this is like a line in the industry or if it's your tagline or something, but it's exercise is medicine. Mm-hmm. How fantastic. I mean, especially now where we've had all these different interventions for COVID, and everybody's like looking for the silver bullet way to treat COVID after the fact. Why not focus on getting healthy? So I love that point. The other thing in there I definitely wanted to call out is you mentioned that this wasn't a financial decision. You weren't trying to open to keep afloat. You had actually said at the time, we're going to waive dues for the month of June, despite opening in June. You wound up opening June 15th. But we're going to waive dues for that month. So this isn't, obviously, this isn't for you to start making a bunch of revenue or anything.
Yeah, well I'm glad, appreciate you bringing that up. In fact, oddly enough, we actually were allowed to open up our outdoor facilities June 1. But the indoor facilities, we couldn't. And that's when we opened that up June 15th. But for the entire month, to show that it wasn't a financial decision, that I really believed that, as you had said earlier, exercise is medicine, and we were definitely someone that needed to be open, I waived the dues, which was well over $1 million in lost revenue. So I was accommodating all my members for free at a cost to me of $1 million after I had, after I had lost literally $4-5 million in revenue, those five in excess, those 4 months that we were closed. So, and truth be told, by the end of the when I say the end, I always look at the end for us was about 16 months. And we're still not back to where we were, by the way, pre 2020 to 2019 year. But we lost $15 million in revenue during that time, which, you know, was represented about 40%+ of our total revenue. So, you know, for me to give up another $1 million, you know, willingly, you know, people might say, well, geez, and that's, you know, big business, this, that, whatever. I mean, we're a small business, to be honest with you. It was significant, but it was, again, it was about the principle. So that's what we did. And I think people appreciated it, but, you know, I'm not going to lie. Even today, unless you own a business or you are in the health club industry or you're a salon down the road or, you know, a restaurant that was restricted, those, you know, venues like entertainment, we were the ones that got slaughtered. And unless you either own one of them or worked in them, 90% of the population still doesn't understand what we went through. I mean, I have people today, you know, we continue construction during COVID. I'm an open book, so I have no problem saying during that we had no revenue. I couldn't get any bank financing. We were in the middle of renovations. I swore to myself that I would complete them and continue them during the time. I at the time had $4 million in a retirement account. I'm 65 now. So I had always thought and that was money I saved since I was 22. I thought that was money I would just pass on to my family, my kids, you know, when I died, never thinking I'd spend it because I plan on working the rest of my life. I do like working. And I had access to $3 to $4 million just to keep the construction going to pay the bills. So actually, it was a little bit more than that. So, I mean, yeah, today people wonder, well, how come you haven't finished the hot yoga room, or how come you haven't done this? It's like, it's amazing that we were able to do anything, because and that was just some of the money I had to spend. I mean, I accessed a lot of other personal money just to keep people employed, to keep the construction going, just to pay the bills. And we were the only industry, the health club industry, that didn't get direct relief. Restaurants got money early on. Some of the other industries got money besides the PPP and the employment retention credit. They got actual subsidies to their industry. We're the only one, the fitness industry, that didn't. And up until just last week or two, we've been fighting for what's called the GYMS Act, and we couldn't get it attached to anything. Any bill, and it was literally a couple $1 billion, which was nothing. It was, I think, it mattered to the 40,000 clubs that it would have been in existence, and probably now we're down to like 25,000 or 30,000. It was peanuts. I mean, it was more symbolic than it was going to help. A club like mine, it wouldn't have been like a pimple. It wouldn't have served. But it was symbolic that our industry is essential, and we couldn't get anything. And we're still fighting.
Well, why do you think that is? I mean, I went back to exercise is medicine. Why does nobody get that?
Well, you know, there are some people, like a friend of mine, Herschel Walker, who's running for Senate in Georgia. He's a big proponent of exercise and a bill called the Fit Bill, which allows HSAs and FSAs to be used for exercise and kids' sports leagues and stuff like that. The bill's been pending for 10 years. You know, the only thing I can think of, there's either an economic reason why people benefit, maybe like pharmaceutical companies, people like that, maybe doctors. I don't know. You know, maybe there's just more money in treating illness than there are preventing illness. And, you know, that's the cynical side of me. There is no common sense reason why we are not incentivizing people to be healthy. The reality is the savings are so dramatic on the back end. This Fit Bill, for an example, which takes these health savings accounts, which there's 60 million people in America that have, could be used for your kids' sports leagues. It could be used for exercise equipment. It could be a health club membership, a yoga studio. The score on that, in other words, what it will cost the federal government in, quote, tax, you know, lost tax revenue over the next 10 years is $1.5 billion. But the healthcare savings is $6 billion. Now, as a businessman, I do that deal all day long. You give me a $1, $4 return, I'm going to find piles of money to do that. In a 10-year time period, that's ridiculous. But for some reason, our government hasn't bought into it. Now, the good news is, if there's any good news out of COVID, I think people are starting to get the idea that, you know, activity, exercise, kids' sports, keeping people involved, not only physically is good for you, it's mentally, socially, you know, every ways. And I think we're finally making a breakthrough, but you know, I can only think if there's some economic reason why people, it's kind of like the bill, the right to try that I helped get passed with, along with some other families, where terminally ill people would have the right to try experimental drugs. That you would think that'd be common sense. Like if you were dying, you know, you'd be able to access a drug that's, you know, phase one, that's an experimental, it won't hurt you, won't kill you, but may not solve your problem. You would think that somebody was dying would have the right to do that. That was held up for, you know, 15 years before we got President Trump to sign that in law in the 2018. The only thought I could think is, there's a vested financial interest for the people to stop things like that. So it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, at 40 some years of doing this, I've seen what I'm 66 shortly. You know, I'm not saying that I'm Jack LaLanne, but I'm in pretty good shape. I don't take any medicines. I still lift as much as I did 20 years ago. I bench as much as I do. I can still go out and run 5 miles without getting winded. It, never been sick. I mean, I just believe in it. So I don't know. It's a great question, but we're working hard to get that changed.
Yeah. I've always felt for myself, it's almost an issue of productivity that I notice, you know, if I'm on it and I'm working out regularly and I'm hitting goals and actually achieving some type of progress, I wake up in the morning and I'm ready to hit it. And it's not just with working out. That's a productivity factor that everything, the house is better, life is better, work is better.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, there's the discipline aspect, the routine, you know, the fact that you just feel better, you sleep better. You typically, when you're exercising, you're more interested in what you're putting in your mouth nutritionally.
Definitely.
You know, so that it all works hand in hand. I mean, and that's just the physical stuff. And then you get the emotional and social. I mean, if you really want an eye opener, go to the Philadelphia airport and sit there and wait for a flight and look around. See, I'm kind of jaded because I work in a health club, so for the most part, everybody's working hard. And don't get me wrong, not everybody's, you know, their ideal weight or the best shape, but they're all working and they're healthy and they can move up and down the steps and they're all doing the best. So for the most part, I see, you know, the 12,000 members we have here, I see people that look pretty good, right? And if they're not, they're getting closer to where they want to be. And it's not just about looks. It's just, but, you know, they're not carrying... If they're carrying an extra 50 pounds, they're working to get it down to 30 or 20. You know, excess weight and obesity is the number one killer of people. And by the way, it causes all kinds of, forget about heart disease and diabetes. You know, it's linked to cancer and all kinds of darn things.
I mean, COVID, how about the realities of COVID? It's unfortunate.
Yeah, 80% of the people that were hospitalized or died were overweight, you know. So how do you prevent that going forward? You know, here we are giving people more boosters and shots. And, hey, why don't we incentivize them to buy a home piece of exercise equipment or go to a Pilates studio? Or better yet, forget about the adults. How about the kids? I mean, I served on the president's council. I was appointed by President Trump in 2017. I served with Herschel Walker, Dr. Oz, you know, Bill Belichick, some pretty cool people. But they were all active people. At that time in 2018, something like 70% of all kids ages 13, by the time they got age 13, quit organized youth sports. 70%. Now, after COVID, that number is probably at 80%. And in addition, a lot of the kids that used to play sports at all ages never came back because they got used to sitting around. The health of our youth is deplorable. And what does that mean besides the fact that they're in bad shape? That means in 30 years you're going to have a nuclear bomb of people out of shape, because if they're not healthy at 10, 8, 12, 15, imagine what they're going to be at 30, 40, 50.
Right.
And so healthcare costs just keep rising. It's because we don't incentivize, we don't get kids started early to you know, be active.
Well, here's another spot where I can definitely just throw a bunch of praise your way, because it was November, December of 2020 when suddenly kids were being made to wear masks while they actively play sports. That was that thing. We actually did that. Like, yeah, as a society, we did that. And here in Pennsylvania, it was mandated. So what happened at the time was a whole bunch of like local basketball leagues, like the rec leagues for little kids, small children, like younger than high school age. They all just started shutting down because parents were like, what's up with this? They just straight up canceled their basketball seasons or majorly delayed them. So we stepped in. This was an effort to reopen Bucks to say, okay, you know what? We're just going to let kids play basketball. And I don't think we would have been successful in that or been able to do it without the Knack. You let us use this facility. And I honestly, still to this day, I don't know how involved you were with the decision. We primarily worked with Doug Sharp, who's a great guy, basically met every need. And despite that being a really tough situation, because at the time there were all these mandates about what you have to do, what you have to not do, we just wanted to simply provide an environment where the kids could play basketball somewhat normally, come have a good time, like you said, be healthy, play your sport, stay engaged, don't lose them to the video games or whatever else. And it was wildly successful here. So did you, to that, did you ever get blowback from that league? We were running out of the
net. We got nothing but praise. And my involvement was Doug came to me and said, hey, we've got all these outside groups that are looking to, you know, utilize our facility, and I know we have a policy to limit that, and in fact, because we're a member club, member-driven club, is that we try not to use it because it impacts the member's ability just to come in and use it whenever they want. And I said, look, Doug, you know what? You know, I'm on the President's Fitness Council. We need to provide these facilities, so you work it out so that, you know, our members won't be impacted, but you could serve the community as much as you could. And that was not only here in the Knack, it was also in our field house next door, where the sports training center, where we started to provide, you know, even more opportunities and increased our hours and all that. And frankly, it was one of the few positives of COVID during that time, is when I'd go down there and see the kids playing, you know, the organized basketball. I can't tell you how many mothers and fathers, and they'd bring their little kids up to me and thanking me. And it was very, very rewarding, the smiles on their face, because look, forget about the physical downfall of COVID, with the emotional. I mean, this was the only time the kids got to be with their friends and socialize. So, I mean, it was a great thing. And you're right, Doug Sharp does a phenomenal job. He's really all about the kids. And yeah, that was a nice moment for us.
Yeah, I'm super appreciative of that. And it's worth calling out also that while we're working to put that thing together and figure it all out, That was December 2020. There was actually another shutdown. That was like shutdown 2.0, restaurants, gyms, et cetera. And you kept the Knack open. Is it safe to say, following that if we look out ahead to what might happen in fall or whatever, you're going to keep the Knack open?
Yeah, after the first shutdown and the second one came, I just said, that's not happening again. You know, how could I say that I believe that exercise is medicine and that we're essential, and then shut down again? I was willing to go to the mat on anything, you know, whether it was fines or otherwise. We need to be open. We need to be there for kids. And if there's a shutdown somewhere down the road, which who the heck knows? I'm praying there won't be, but we won't be a part of it. And I guess we'll be in the news and there'll be some type of backlash. But by the way, you know, again, people will think, oh, well, he's just, you know, the money. You know, it isn't the money, because the blowback I get on that, the bad PR from the people that believe so strongly that you have to isolate and wear masks and keep everybody apart, it's unbearable. I mean, you know, it's unbearable in the sense that they go after you on social media, they give you bad reviews, they tell people I would never join there, you know, the guy, you know, Jim Worthington, he's just a bad businessman, all he cares about is money. So there's a price to be paid for standing up. I get it every day still. But I will tell you, our members at the Knack now have never been better. There's less of them. There's probably 20%, but that's typical. I mean, we're doing better than probably 90% of the industry as a whole, because a lot of clubs, unless you're in a real red state, the average people are down about 30% business off their highs. We're about 18%. We're going to continue to press the thing that exercise is essential and we need to be open. So, you know, we literally lost hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars through this whole thing. But we kept our principles, and we that's what we exist for. And at the end of the day, you know, you got to be able to look in the mirror, and you know, money, you can't take it with you. So if we're a beacon of light for someone to give them hope, or you know, fight for what they think is right, then that's what we're going to do.
Well, I really appreciate it. I go back to that video you made. You posted on the Facebook page. I'm going to include a link to that here in the show notes so folks can watch it. I encourage everyone too, because I think it was one of those critical moments of leadership where everything changed. And I mentioned at the outset of this that at the time you did that, nobody knew. We were still in red phase. No one knew how long this was going to be, what was going to happen. And sure enough, just a few weeks later, I think largely because of you, they start moving us through the color phases. People are allowed to do things all of a sudden. I think it applied a lot of pressure that made a really big difference.
Well, if I could add one thing, and I'm very appreciative of the kind words, I will say this. Our health director in Bucks County, Dr. Damsker, I thought did a wonderful job, considering that he, you know, he needed to make all kinds of people happy. He had a tough job. I thought he negotiated far better than most everywhere else. And the probably the real culprit was our governor and Dr. Levine. They were the ones. And real quick, we tried to speak to them early on about the health club industry. We tried to tell them what we did with the CDC. We tried to tell them we were essential, but they didn't want any parts of it. And when you have a government that doesn't listen to the science, which is what this was all supposed to be about, listening to science, which they didn't when it came to us, you know, that's where you have to draw the line in the sand, and you take things under your own arms and do what you need. You do what you think is right. And so we did. And, you know, if we gave some other people some courage to do the same, certainly we're happy that to hear that. So I appreciate you talking to me today. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you much for your time. Catch you next time.